Slideshow. Very good.
Oh, I think as far as my experiences was the best weather we've ever had at youth camp. I don't know about the other years, but it was very hot. I don't know that anyone need blankets tonight at all. I didn't anyway. It was really warm, and as you can see from that lovely sunny picture, we had a great time. And there was a great spirit at camp. I really think there was a great spirit. Everything just kind of flowed nicely, and the teens and the kids kept a great spirit as well, and you guys did a lot of work. So 105 teens, children, and adults, and 5 saved. That makes it worth it all, of course. So one of the groups on the way down, we had so many people to try and bring down, it was unbelievable, and we had to do many trips, but it was good fun, and was for the people excited about camp. And Miss Fiona, she looked after all the food at camp. And it was a lot of work, sometimes up early and up late kind of thing. But she managed to feed everybody. And I'm sure we're all very thankful for that. I'm glad I ate. And all the kitchen workers, of course, are needed. And thank you so much. What a laugh. And then the sun is getting to some people, I know. Barry's the king of the world, see? Very good. Is this one a team? Is it here? Good looking. You had some funny Esther related team names. Oh, there's some of the kitchen crew. They all look so unstressed and everything.
That was before we started.
Yeah. Excellent. There's Eric photobombing the place.
He did nothing.
Yeah. Excellent. We're probably singing God's Wonderful Book Divine there, I'm not sure.
Amen.
In the blue room. And we had so many sessions. It's hard to keep up with all the truths that you get. But that's what it is. Like, you come out of the world, the kids, they don't have their phones. And all of a sudden, they just start getting softened by the word and softened. And, you know, when you get that kind of blare of the world kind of away, it, it gives you an opportunity to hear, you know, what the Lord is saying to you. Maybe you hadn't stopped to listen before, and that's one of the effects the camp has. That people realize, you know, that they could actually enjoy church and not come in and take their phone in with them and not even hear anything at church. You know, that kind of idea. And Esther and Mordecai was such an apt theme. Like every time we study something, it always seems to answer our culture. You know, there's the Greggs. They came over to help us as well. But they learned about true beauty from Queen Esther. And not only just for the girls, but for the guys too. You know, that kind of idea. Just how our world defines beauty and that kind of thing, but how the Bible defines beauty. Mm. And it was quite eye-opening for many of the teens. Very good, everybody. Having a good time? You know, Obi, not Kenobi, as we were calling him, the Christian.
There's a sheet. If you go down to the bottom, you can press play.
Play on that one, is it?
Yeah. You have to show this one off. This, we found evolution is partially true.
It's going again, is it? We should watch it twice. There, Mikey looks very excited there. Very good. Excellent. Is that a video as well, is it?
No.
Alright. Oh, preparing for the preaching. You'll hear some of the messages later in popcorn form. And that's Jennifer. So in the mornings, basically there was a kids and teen session separated, and we would go through some of the just lay the groundwork of the storyline of Esther and Mordecai, and then we would build that through preaching and stuff throughout the afternoon. And we also had specialized teen sessions to talk about teen issues that were brought up from Esther and Mordecai that, you know, obviously the kids, either it's above their heads or it's not appropriate. So the teens got a good talk about stuff, preparing for marriage and things. That's the slip and slide. So we did a lot of water sports, of course, because it was such a hot week. Very good. You mean came down and everything. Brilliant. Yeah. Was that from one of the water fights? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. And this was the treasure hunt crew.
That was the last treasure hunt crew.
Oh, the ones that didn't find the treasure.
They
got lost.
They got lost.
Every year, Barry seems to get lost, is it? Not every year, is it? It's a different team. I know, yeah.
Studying the verses.
Right. So they have to memorize verses. You know, of course, the Bible says, "Thy word have been hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." But this site is also cool. There was a Bible word dictionary. And a lot of the time, you know, you might be able to rattle off verses, but you just gloss over all these words. And the Bible word dictionary is very very interesting. It makes you define words and think about what they actually mean. And that's meditating on the word. And the kids did a lot of that. It was great. It's a great exercise. We had a bonfire, roasted marshmallows, all that kind of thing. And there was some singing and stuff. Hey, there's David. And the kids made a craft. They made a scepter so they could allow their parents to come into their rooms. Very good. Oh, there's all the kids there. Good one. Alright, so memory verses. Oh, it doesn't animate it. Very good. Alright, so the kids did learn memory verses, and hopefully they're not only in your short-term memory, right? So, I'm going to ask, does anyone know Psalm 51:10? Anyone? Henry? Amen, amen. Who's got Romans 8:28? Have you got Hebrews 4:16? Which one? Do you want to receive? Yes, go ahead. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Does anyone have Hebrews 4:16? Hands. The guys in the back there, Kevin, you know Hebrews 4:16?
Anybody? I'll give you a hint. Let us therefore. Do you know Prosper? Nile knows Mars. Go on, sir. Let us therefore. Amen, amen. James 4:7, who knows that one? Again, the same person. We've got more. Kevin. Oh, James 4:8, okay, yeah. James 4, did you know James 4:7 as well? No, she knows so. Amen.
Amen.
And last one, 1 Timothy 4:12. Who's got 1 Timothy 4:12? Shinaz again. Anybody who hasn't had a go yet? Go on, Tom. Excellent. Well done, well done. So that's one of them. So guys, don't forget to go over these because a lot of time when you do study, you might be able to know it one day, but then the next day you have to review as you should know from junior cert and senior cert if you've done that, and that keeps them there, okay? And that's important, all right? Because I'll just leave it at that one. So excellent. Memory verses, skits and songs and singing. We've got a skit first, I believe. Where's Barry? Are you guys ready for that? That's good. All right. So the teams, there was five teams. They were red, orange, green, blue, and purple. And once a day they had to prepare some songs. So was it once? Once a day they had to prepare some songs and some skits and memory verses and things. And the skits were just a bit of fun. Of course, it's youth camp. And this is one of them. Do you need a table? Yes, I put it down over there. Sorry.
Nice to meet you.
Are you Boo? Well, is this your first time meeting, is it?
Yeah, I'm not going to
meet you.
That'll be loud. Can you
be loud?
Can
you be loud? Can you be loud? Alright, well, do I meet?
Yeah.
All right.
those things as a team and get points for that. It would work out to you. There would be coaching after that. But just for a moment, does anyone have a testimony as to how they got on in camp? They would just come up and tell us what their experience at camp was, how they found it. Have we got Samuel, have you got a testimony at all? Just see how you get on. You enjoyed it. There was something interesting that you heard, anything like that? Yeah. You can come up.
Come on.
Yeah.
Hi. My name is Samuel. Camp for me was interesting. It was really good actually. Because it was my first time anyway, alongside myself and my brothers. It was my first time going there. So like we were a bit anxious and stuff to like get into it. But like it was a really good experience in fairness on like the teaching and everything. It was really good. So and the food, like the cooks, like it was good. Yeah. One of the main things that stood out to me in the preaching was authority. How your parents and everyone, like your teachers and all them, they're under your authority. And how like God speaks to your authority and stuff like that. That stood out to me. So yeah.
Amen.
Hey.
Hi. Hello.
My name is Prosper. This camp was just an amazing experience. It's my first time. I just really loved it, and as Simon said, the food is also great too. One of the main things I've learned from the preaching is how from friends around me not to be like influenced, just try and stay on my own and help follow God and everything. This camp has really like just changed a lot of all the things that have happened. I just want to say thank you for everything.
Anyone else for the moment? You gonna say anything, Henry? I'm just picking on people. How about yourself? You didn't enjoy camp at all? You did, yeah? I'm glad you enjoyed it. Fun. One thing to say, go on, Tom.
Some like it hot, some like it cold. Some like it in the hot night. So I love the bars too, but everybody has a entitled to their opinion. Alright, we'll do another skit, so, and I'll get some more testimonies in a minute, but we have one more skit here. We need the table back up and stuff for that. And Shanaz and Eno and Nathaniel, is it? Okay. So make sure nice and loud this time so everybody can hear.
Yeah.
And this one's anonymous.
That bill,
We're going to walk over there nice and slowly, like nothing ever happens.
Try me.
Put that book down and set it over to me, nice and slowly.
I bet your wife. Put it through.
Did it hurt you, darling?
That's enough.
How about we pay half of the split?
No splits, no deals. I'm paying for this.
You're not gonna get away with it. You know that.
Oh, really? Keep the change.
I don't think it.
I think I started camp when I was 9 or 10. So being a leader this year was really weird. I was like a helper kind of leader last year, but this year I was like completely in charge of a room on my own and also a team with Dan Perro and another guy called Bradley. I didn't really know what to expect, and I was hoping that I wouldn't meet a young person like myself, because I'm a bit like, when I was younger going to camp, I didn't really obey anyone, or I just did my own thing or whatever. But when I was working with a load of young people in my group and stuff, I just realised that authority is important, and I didn't listen a lot, and I got into loads of trouble, and that's a part of my testimony and stuff as well, just how I got saved and stuff. But this year, Oran O'Rourke was talking about learning the umbrella principle, and it was just about authority being under that protection. And a few things he said was, there is protection under authority, which I have personally learned myself. And then we often complain about the people in charge of us, but if we can work with our authority, God can work on our authority, was something that Pastor said a few weeks ago back in Nehemiah 2:8. And that was just something that touched my heart and realized I was giving out to some of the young people for not listening to me, not having respect and everything, which sometimes they didn't, but at the same time, my own personal self, I wasn't like doing what I should have been doing at camp as well. Like I was getting annoyed with Jennifer and Andrew with some things, and I am sorry about that. And I just don't want to be held for being a hypocrite, so I just apologize to young people as well. But this camp, I've learned a lot about me personally and about other young people, and it has set a lot of foundation for myself. And I made a lot of personal commitments to myself and to God. And I just encourage anyone just to come to camp next year and help out as well. And it does change people. I think 5 people got saved. And last year, Troy from Mallow, Henry's church, I think, he was coming last year, and he was just a great kid. And then he told me he got saved this year, and I was just so excited for him. And I started crying with him because I was just so excited that he got saved, and just to know that God is true. He is there no matter what, and he does work on people whether we believe it or see it or whatever. He is there, and I'm just thankful for everyone at camp. And I just had a great time.
That's great, Kira. Remember when Kira first came to teens, she would even barely look at you. She wouldn't say boo to a mouse, you know. And now she's talking away and telling us everything is great.
Swinging away.
Yeah. Does anyone else have something that they like? Kathy, please, come on. Don't fuck up. That's correct.
I just think that I know a lot of parents send their kids to camp, and they don't know how to do it.
You don't have to come up here if you want to. You can just respond or whatever, ask your question. Nino, did you get on okay? I can.
It was lovely.
Would you come again?
Yeah.
Very good, very good. Sir? Before I ask some of the leaders, and then we're going to have a bit of preaching, does any other of the young people want to say anything or something that spoke to them at all? Anybody? Alrighty. Any of the leaders have anything to say from your point of view, how you found camp? I quite enjoyed my time. I got to do sports this year. It's been a long time since I did sports at the camp. The games sometimes aren't my strong point and that kind of thing, so I work with Barry we do teens every week, still it's always a battle. But we had great weather, so we were able to do a lot of things, and it was a lot of fun. But it was great just to come into the preaching then, and you know, you'd have a great time. You know, the teens would have a great time playing soccer or doing whatever it is that they like to do, but then we got to sit under God's word. And the one thing that kind of stuck out the most to me of all the preaching was it was just basically an introduction the pastor was preaching to one of his messages, and he just made a statement where he said, all you have to do for I don't know all the descriptions he made, but say again?
Just for to do nothing or whatever.
Yeah, so all you have to do just for all the evil to take over, you know, considering the referendum that just came in, and all that, he said all you have to do is do nothing, and you would have, you know, bad things would take over, bad people would rise into power, and, you know, for your home to fall apart, all you have to do is do nothing and just sit back, you know. And I thought that was very convicting, you know. It's hard. It is hard to make a step and step forward. You know, in the flesh, sometimes in the build-up to youth camp, you're kind of like, oh, man, you know, we've got all this prep for camp, and it's really tiring. And, you know, a couple of us had to go down on the Sunday previous. So we had church in the morning, and we got straight in the bus, went down to the office, loaded the bus to the hilt with food and sports gear and, you know, whiteboards and all sorts of everything, scissors and duct tape, and the bus was bulging out. And then we stopped in Lidl for an hour in Fermoy. And then we drove down to Mount Mellery and unloaded the whole thing into three different rooms, the cold room, the dry store, and the church office, or whatever the youth director's office, the youth camp director's office. And then we drove all the way back, and then we were just about back, and church was mostly over in the evening. And then we had to, like, get up in the morning and make sure we were all packed home and go all the way down to camp. And then by the time we get to camp, everything needs to be set up and taken out of all those boxes and all that kind of stuff. And it's very tiring, you know, in your flesh to be like, you know, ah, you don't want to do this or whatever, that kind of idea. You're definitely, your outward man is perishing hour by hour, never mind day by day. By the end of camp, you're really wrecked. But, you know, that kind of thing where you step forward by faith and you just keep your flesh under subjection and just work through it. You're always glad at the end that you obeyed the Lord and did what was right. And of course, you know, when you see the fruit, when you see the impact that it's having on young people, you know, you don't want to do nothing. You don't want to be the person responsible for Erisher. Let someone else do part. Let someone else, you know, minister to people. Let someone else go to church. Let someone else talk to my kids about God's word. You know, I wouldn't want to be kind of that person that wasn't, you know, like the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not being slothful, not being, you know, the Bible says, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So that was the one thing that really... that really spoke out to me, just that one thing about, you know, beware of doing nothing as a Christian. Yeah. So that's my testimony anyway, as far as camp. It was very good. Fiona?
Yeah. As a parent who went down, it was my first time. We've been down here before, so my 9-year-old was born, and although he's a big boy, mom wants to go too. So I was happy to have that. I just want to say from the inside, looking at it, the amount of work that we do as leaders, Pastor Anita, the early old dedicated. Nobody realizes the work that two of them do. I've actually spent some quality time with Anita in the kitchen, and we had some fun, and we became friends, and Kathy and all of us. But to see the work that the pastor does, they go to bed last at night, they're up first in the morning, and I don't think that as parents you realize that until you're there. So I just wanted to say thank you.
You don't have that timer, do you? All right.
You can turn to John chapter 8.
John chapter 8. We'll try. I was given the responsibility to soothe and comfort and encourage and calm all the campers with the message, "Why the devil hates you." So anyway, that's what my responsibility was. So I wanted to let them know that they had an adversary. They had somebody who does hate them, and it is the devil, and they need to take that seriously. But 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So you do have a foe. These teens do have opponents. I hope they're paying attention. They have someone who hates them, someone who is their adversary, someone who falsely accuses them before God, and who basically hates them and wants to see them destroyed. We looked a little bit into the book of Esther and saw that Haman is a type of Satan, where he's full of wrath. Satan is full of wrath. He's full of lies. Satan is full of lies. Haman was full of pride. Satan was full of pride. It's what cast him out of heaven. Haman wanted to destroy Mordecai and all of God's people, the Jews. And Satan certainly wants to destroy God's people, all the believers. And if he could right now, he would destroy every one of us in here. He would kill you right now, but he can't, because God is in control. Because Satan doesn't like you. He doesn't like you because you're one of God's children. So if he could right now, he would kill you. Now in John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So we looked at that verse and we realized that Satan has no truth in him. Anytime a thought comes into your mind that is contrary to the word of God, it's probably a lie from Satan. Cast it out, get back into the book, and pour the word of God into your mind. The first lie he told was, "Thou shalt not surely die." And what happened? Adam and Eve died, both spiritually and at some point physically. Titus 1:2 tells us that God cannot lie. He is only truth. So God cannot tell a lie. So that's good. That's a big, clear dividing line for the thought life of the Christian, especially the young people. Don't let those lies get sunk into your brain and you start living those lies out in your life thinking something's going to be different with you. You're going to get away with something. He's a murderer, Jesus said. He was a murderer in the beginning, and that's what he did in the garden. And then turn over just to John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You say, who wants to read all these verses about killing and destruction? These are the things God wants us to know, that we have a real foe, a real adversary. He wants to destroy your life, teen. Yeah. He wants to destroy your life, older person. And he doesn't like us one bit. And we should recognize that and realize that he wants to hurt us. He wants to steal from us. He's a thief. He wants to take these young people's purity. He wants to take their youth. He wants to take their innocence. He wants to take their good name and slam it into the ground. He wants to take their joy away from them because he's a thief. He wants to kill them. He wants to destroy them. His name is Abaddon and Apollyon. Both of those words mean destroyer. So who's the devil? He's a false accuser in Revelation 12:10. He's the Antichrist. We know that he is the Antichrist. Well, anyone who is against Christ is Antichrist, but this is the Antichrist, the devil. He's called Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies, Lord of the Dung. He can have that title all he wants. He's a dragon, fierce, violent serpent. He's a tempter, and he's the wicked one. Where do you find him today? Turn over to Ephesians, please, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Where is he today? Well, in Job, God asked the question to Job, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro to the earth, in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." He just wanders around looking for somebody he can hurt, kill, destroy, or steal from. That's who the devil is. If he's not here, he's somewhere else. But he could be here right now in Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll just go right to verse 2. It says, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So he is the prince and the power of the air. He can move like an angel through different parts of the earth, and he's just looking, and he could be here right now. Now, Satan wants you to dishonor God. I tried to explain that to the young people to get them to realize that Satan wants you to dishonor God and dishonor your parents And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what?
New creature.
He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it's hard for you young people to go against the flow. But that's exactly what you must do in order to glorify God and not Satan. You're going to have to turn your ship around and go against the flow. And that is not easy. But that's how you'll honor God. But I had mentioned that a lot of kids are just living in fear of their friends. They're worried what the friends might say about their hair, what they're wearing, where they're going, what they're saying, what social media they're on. They're more worried about their friends than they are of Satan. And Satan uses that stuff. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, we have not been given the spirit of fear. That does not come from the devil. I mean, that comes from the devil. God gives us the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. So young people, you just need to be like Jesus Christ. Follow him. We can dishonor God through the things we listen to and the things we put before our eyes. And while I mentioned all that, I'm not going to go through it again. You know all the things that creep into your lives, young people. And maybe you don't see it the same way others do. But let me tell you, the stuff on social media, the stuff that's going on phones back and forth with teens today, it's just a shame. The devil is getting honor through that. And it just makes parents sick to their stomach. I wish you just turn it around. Just turn it around and go against the flow and fall in love with Jesus Christ. By dishonoring your parents, you honor the devil. And I wanted to make this note again. When did the devil ever pray for you? When did the devil ever put a roof over your head? When did the devil ever put clothes on your back? Or care for you when you were sick? Or put food in your stomach? Or lay you down in a soft, warm, safe bed? Never, because he hates you. And he wants to destroy your life. And you go ahead and dishonor your mom and dad? Oh, shame on us. Shame on us. Amen. Ephesians 6:2 says, honor thy father and thy mother. Stay under the authority. It's a dangerous place when you get out from underneath the authority of mom and dad. Because God still wants to put blessings into that family, but you're not there to receive them anymore. Stay close to Jesus and stay close to your pastor. The man preaches for you, prays for you, and will give an account of that. And he loves his teens, and I'm sure wherever you go to church, if it's not here, your pastor loves you. Look, the devil has a lot of tactics. And Ephesians chapter 6, if you're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. John, am I going fast enough? All right. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means he's looking for ways to get into your life. If you put that armor on, he's looking for some way to get into your life. And teens, you make it way too easy sometimes for him. You know, way too easy. Because he attacks like a roaring lion, you see. And I had a picture of a lion that was over a kill. And the blood was all around its mouth and it was roaring, you know. And that lion doesn't go after the biggest and strongest. He goes after the distracted ones. And when you'd rather be on your social media, when you'd rather just be listening to music you shouldn't be listening to instead of reading your Bible and praying, you're distracted. And the devil could just walk right up and get into your life and mess you up. Because that's what lions do. They look for the distracted ones. They look for those that are sick and weak. And you know, when there's a big herd of, I don't know, these things, buffalo on the African plains, you know, and the lion's looking, he's not looking for the big strong one. He's looking for the weak one, the little one, the sick one, the one that's been separated from the pack. It's an easy kill. But you get in your Bible and you start praying and you start getting the power of God on your life, you won't be such easy prey for the devil. But the devil's looking for somebody that's sick and weak. You don't read your Bible, you don't pray, and you don't care. And though some of you are bigger than me, you're 6 foot and you're a big, strong guy, you are a spiritual weakling. You have no spiritual muscles, and the devil is going to have a good time with you. And then I told you that he attacks at the water hole. This is the water hole right here. And being in church does not a Christian make. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Being in church doesn't make you a Christian. Being at youth camp doesn't make you a Christian. Because the devil comes in here and you could be disinterested and distracted right now and you're not paying attention to me as I preach. The devil's going to attack you for that. You will not get away with that. The devil will find a place to get into your life and mess you up. So what can you do to resist him? James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So what do you do? Submit to God. Place yourself under the authority of God and all the authorities that are set up in your life. Just humble yourself. Stop fooling around, thinking that you got it all together when you don't. Stop being a rebel and just be real and get under the authority of your parents. And I guarantee you, God will be God and do what God does and He'll start blessing your life. If you just humble yourself and say, Mom, what needs to be done around the house? As soon as I'm done with my prayer time, I'd like you to tell me what needs to be done around the house. And after you pick her up off the floor, then she might tell you what she wants done around the house. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is?
Yeah.
Stop playing around with sin.
Amen.
Like you're not playing around with sin, right? Like we're the only one. So when I sin, like I don't know I'm sinning. Come on. Hey, you know when you're sinning. And I told him about Pippa and the alligator. You remember Pippa and the alligator? And this, do I have time for that, John? Pippa and the alligator. No?
Yes.
Finish up. You are done. Anyway, this couple in Australia had this little dog named Pippa, this beautiful Bichon Frise, this white little puffball was a beautiful dog. But the dog always wanted to mess with this alligator that would come up one of their back, where they lived. In their back there was a little creek or something there. And now that alligator would just sun and open his mouth and just sit there. And it was a pretty big size alligator. But Pippa, the little dog, would go down there and bite at his tail and then run away. And the couple would laugh and they'd think it's so funny. And Pippa would go down and bite his tail. And this went on for a long time. Until one day, Pippa went down when the alligator was sunning himself and he bit at his tail. And the alligator would look around a little bit. And one time, Pippa got a little too close up to the alligator's mouth. And bam! The alligator took the dog back down in the water. That was the end of Pippa. Why? Because Pippa played around with sin.
Yeah.
And that's what the devil will do. You keep playing around, and one day he's going to clamp his jaws on your life, and it's going to be over. 1 Peter 5:9 says, walk by faith. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. So, here it is, John. The devil hates you because you have a soul, and Jesus died for your soul on the cross. He loves you. You were made in the image of God. You live for Him. The devil hates that. The devil hates that you could be used for righteousness. That God could use you like a tool in His hand. But be encouraged. Even though the devil hates you, you are loved by God. You are loved by your parents. You are loved by your pastor. Even your nasty little brothers and sisters love you. And your godly friends. And here's the verse. It's 1 John 4:4. For greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen.
We're going to finish up there. Maybe you guessed that one. All right. Do you know this one? No? Let's give me a key. All right, suppose if you all stand, and we'll just sing this last song here. When we were at youth camp, we weren't rushed for time. Every preacher finished their message. Holy. I've got an F here.